halussa. Sahat hoshtahana mahassa. Hoshi mahan hoshi mahan hoshi mahan hoshi mahan hoshi mahan hoshi mahan hoshi Yeshua, Yeshua, Him Hana, Hamahana, my Yeshua, Him Hana, Okiaha, Odiha, Yeshua, Him Hana, Holy Heliba, Holy, Holy, Holy One, He's the Hana, Holy One, Himahaniano, Holy One, Pa, Hana, Mama, Papa Hano, Holy One, Oh, Hanamashti, Hana, Holy One, Oh, Heliyalawa, Halaba, Hala, Holy One, Venias, Holy ones, for this is a fearful ground. Fearful ground. For there are holy ones, even on this ground. Oh. Holy ones, oh, holy ones, Sahyala Mahalovatona Hanushta. For even on the earth, the knowledge of our holiness will flood. Will feel hearts. Our holiness, our hallowedness, our separatedness. Haya hawalo sharap halo holy. For man will be holy. Oh, Hasha. There is nothing impossible. Man will be holy. Man will walk as holy ones. Man will partake of our holiness. And we are calling you partakers. Find your portion. Find your portion. For you are even on holy ground. Find your lot. Take your lot and be holy. This is a holy one. The holy one. You're the holy one. For by the revelation of our name, a revelation of our name, as our name has been revealed, you are receiving holiness. For there is no turning back. Assuredly, as the heavens are higher than the earth, men will partake of this holiness. As the blood cannot be in vain, I tell you, men will partake of this holiness. It is impossible for men not to partake of this holiness. As the world is seeing and being enveloped in so much corruption, this world will see holiness. Oh, for your God is great. He is great, and He is bringing forth even the greatness of His power. He is coming with great fury, with great fury, to make men holy, to deliver lawful captives. Holiness, holiness, for man will ascribe holiness even to our God in the season, and He will not turn back from it. Holy ones.
Father, we bless you this morning. Yes, your command. Help us to come, Father, into that which you have for us today. In the name of Jesus, we come under you fully. Let your spirit minister to us. bless us. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Ezekiel chapter 1, it said, I came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Chebar, that the heavens were open. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. The heavens were open, and I saw visions of God in the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of King Jehoiakim's captivity. And the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel, the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Chebar, and the land of, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. The hand of the Lord was there upon him. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, praise God, and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire, also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was the appearance, for they had the likeness of a man. Praise God. They had the likeness of a man. Out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. And they had the likeness of a man, and everyone had four faces, and everyone had four wings, and their feet were straight feet. And the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot, and they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides, and they four had their faces and their wings, and their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went every one straight forward. For the likeness of their faces, the four had the face of a man and the face of a lion on the right side, and they four had the face of an ox on the left side, and they four had the face of an eagle. And thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of every one were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies, and they went every one straight forward, whither the spirit was to go. They went, and they turned not when they went. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, and like the appearance of lamps, praise God. And it went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. And the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. Hallelujah. Now, as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures, with his four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their walk was like unto the color of a beryl, and they four had one likeness, and their appearance and their walk was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. Praise God. Glory to Jesus. Let's go down. And for 22. And the likeness of the firmament upon their heads of the living creature was as the color of the terrible crystal stretched forth over their heads above, and under the firmament were their wings straight, the one toward the other. Everyone had two, which covered on this side, and everyone had two, which covered on that side with their bodies. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings, like the noise of great waters, as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech, as the noise of an host. When they stood, they let down their wings. And there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads when they stood and had let down their wings. And above the firmament that was over their head was there the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as of the appearance of a man above it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I saw as the color of amber and the appearance of fire round about him, round about within it, from the appearance of his loins and even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about, as the appearance of the bow that is in the clouds in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. And this was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face. I heard a voice of one that spake. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. This is vision, the vision of the prophet Ezekiel. Said the heavens were open, and I saw visions. I saw visions of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. So let's see the little bit about the vision of the whirlwind. Praise God. So there's something that's at play here that describes the last verse. It said that this was the appearance, praise God, the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. So this, the appearance of the likeness of the glory. So this is not, it's all visions of God, but this is not the eternal God. Praise God. Can you see that? This is not the eternal God. This is the God who dwells in the midst of the cherubims, or here in the midst of living creatures. Living creatures who has a kind of appearance. He calls it the appearance of the glory of the Lord. So this Lord is the Lord God, the appearance of the glory of the Lord God. Not the eternal God, but rather the Lord God. The Lord God who dwells in the midst of creatures and who manifests himself to creatures, praise God, with a certain kind of glory that constructs the glory of God is a kind of demonstration of God that towards creatures, this kind of glory, this is not the eternal glory. This is not, you know, glories are in categories. We know there is that eternal glory, the one Jesus spoke about in John chapter 17, right? He said, that which I had with you from the beginning, or from before the world was. Sorry, I had with thee before the world was. So the glory which he had with God before the world was, that's the eternal glory of God. That's not this glory, praise God, that is the caused Ezekiel to see. Now, this was Ezekiel chapter 1. Is not all the visions of God which Ezekiel saw. Ezekiel saw different visions of God, but this is the first vision of God. Hallelujah. And so the first vision which Ezekiel saw was the vision of the appearance of the glory of the Lord. Hallelujah. The vision of the appearance of the glory of the Lord. Of the Lord. Now you must see, anyone who will see God must see the Lord first. Hallelujah. Before you see God, what will happen? You must see the Lord. Like Isaiah saw the Lord in the book of Isaiah chapter 6. Said that in the year that King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord, what? Sitting upon a throne, high and what? Lifted up. And what happened is train filled the temple. Praise God. His train. So this temple is the holy temple, which the train of God, the train means the train of his garment. His garment actually flowed into the holy temple. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You must see the Lord. So everyone who will see God must be equipped to first to see God. God. The purpose of the Lord is to prepare hearts to see God or to meet with God. He said we should have holiness without which no man will see the Lord. Praise God. So before you get to God as the eternal God, the soul must climb ladders of holiness. There are ladders of holinesses. First of all, there's the holiness of Christ, right? We know that. Then there's the holiness of the Lord. So the Lord God has his own holiness is greater than the holiness of Christ. It's a higher holiness, or you can call it a most holy holiness. The higher holiness, which is the holiness of who? Of the Lord God. Well, that holiness means that he has his own kind of God. God has his kind of sanctification. It's not the sanctification of men. Praise God. Men have their sanctification. When you find a man, there are things a man must be separated from, to give that man a chance before God, or for that man to become to be deemed a partaker of his holiness. Praise God. But then there is the holiness of God. The holiness of God is not really about separation from the things that men, the holiness of man is separation touching not unclean things. It's beyond not touching unclean things. The holiness of God is the holiness that makes him glorious. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory is not about, it's not really a factor of what you are touching. Glory has to do with your nature configuration. That is, do you get that? It has to do with your what? Or nature type, nature form. Nature. So, the sense, when they say that we may become partakers, Hebrews chapter 12, praise God, that we should become partakers of his holiness. For therefore, they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure. This is the chastening of your fathers who after the flesh. Say, but he for our own profit, that we might be partakers. That we might be partakers of his holiness. So to be a partaker of God's holiness is the holiness of God is a nature of God. It's the actually what you call divine nature is what is the nature of God's holiness. Hallelujah. What did I say? What you call divine nature is the nature of God's holiness. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and God. Let's see verse 2. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just go from verse 1 so we can see the full scope. Say, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us, first through the what? Righteousness of God our Savior and Jesus Christ. Amen. Then grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge. So this is the divine power has given us things that pertain to life and then what? Godliness through the knowledge of him that called us to where? Called us to glory and virtue, and whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. You see that? Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, having escaped the corruption. So escape of corruption that through lust is a kind of holiness. Praise God. That's the holiness which Christ imparts to you. Christ teaches you, he helps you escape corruption. That's in the world through the power of lust. Then when you have escaped that corruption that's in the world through lust, you get promoted to become a partaker of what? The divine nature. So I said this divine nature is divine holiness. Praise God. What did I call it? Divine is divine holiness. It's God's kind of holiness. The divine nature. The divine nature. So when you say that we should become partakers of his holiness, they are saying we should be partakers of a nature that is holy. Romans chapter 1 spoke about it being declared to be the Son of God with power. Praise God. With power. Declared to be the Son of God with power. He is with power. According to the spirit of what? Holiness by the resurrection of the dead. Thank you, Jesus. So they are to separate man, two things that God will do for man. When you say holiness, holiness is more than just sins. It's more than just, when I say sins, I mean it's more than just, holiness is more than things that attach themselves to you. That's the first way to see it. They deal with things that attach themselves to you. That's one level. And then they will deal with another thing, which is there's something inherent, which is not something that's attached to you, something that's inherent to you, praise God, which is also part of the program of God's holiness. Hallelujah. So there's a graduation in holiness. You see, in 2 Corinthians, he spoke about, first of all, you be separate, come out from among them, being separate, touch not the unclean thing, I will receive you. You see that? Touching not the unclean thing, that is when you have become, it's an escape of corruption that is in the world through lust. Do you agree with that? And then, I will receive you. Then, after I've received you, then what it says, being a father, is what Hebrews was speaking about. Hebrews was describing when I say I will be a father to you. It's not that father, right? It's whom the father loves, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Whom he receiveth. Praise God. He said, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Praise God. Glory to God. So, these kind of sons or children of this father are not those who he gave birth to. They are those who he received. They are not the same. Do you see that? God hasn't given birth to them yet. He received them. Hallelujah. So you can see that the reason for being spiritual, the reason for the purpose of Zion is to raise developed souls who can be received of the Father. That Zion is the mountain. Zion is a place where the Father comes to receive sons. He comes to take sons, praise God, from Zion. For that active job, whom he loved, he chastiseth and scourges every son whom he receiveth. Let's go on. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us. We give them reverence. Shall we not much rather be subject unto the Father of spirits and live? Praise God. For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be made partakers of his holiness. So the partaking of his holiness is after his is the fathering. Do you see that? Praise God. Are you following me? That when you're saying God is your father, we've misunderstood the concept of the fatherhood of God. That for God to be your father, is the fatherhood of God is the working out of holiness. It's actually to, it is for fatherly, what father does is for impartation, is to impart something. To impart something means to bring you, to make you become a partaker, to take part, hallelujah, so that you might be partakers of his holiness. Glory to God, for they verily for a few days they chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit that we might be partakers. Let's see 2 Corinthians. that I will receive you. Touch not the unclean thing, I will receive you. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen, amen, amen. I will receive you and you will be, I will be a father unto you, and then you shall be my sons and daughters. Said who? So, who is the Lord Almighty? It's not the eternal God. The Lord Almighty is the Lord God. Is the Lord God. This is the being who Ezekiel saw in chapter 1. Praise God. Is the Lord God. Who is the Lord God? The Lord God is the God who fathers. Is the God who fathers. Is the God. He said, whom the Lord loves. Do you see that? Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth. Then when you go on, you now see he's now mixing Lord and Father. Praise God. Furthermore, we have Father of our flesh. Then it's now speak about the Father of spirits. So the Father of spirits is not the eternal God. The eternal God is spirit. And is a spirit. He's a spirit. But in his realm, fathering spirit is not really a business. It's not a thing that they do. He does really. For him, this work of being a father to spirit is a condescension, which he did. And is a condescension to give a chance for an ascension to him. Because, of course, so the raising of, fathering of spirit is also the vocation of raising of worshipers. That's what Jesus was saying, right? That if seeketh such, you worship, you know not what, but we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews, but the hour cometh, and now is when true worshipers shall worship the Father, right, in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. So the fathering of spirit is the raising and the development of people who have the capacity of worshiping where? In spirit. So worship in spirit and truth. Another way to put that is worshiping in holiness. Hallelujah. Worshiping in what? Holiness. Shall the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. So the reason why the Father will receive sons is so that he can train them and he can teach them and develop them in them the capacity of worship. Praise God. Worship will begin in, you know, worship is life, right? Worship begins in life everlasting. So the doorway from everlasting life to eternal life are doors of worship. That's the only door that a creature can pass through to get to God. Worship. Say worship. Worship. It's the doors of worship. That's what John realized. You see, all those instincts of John through visions. When John had visions of God in the book of Revelation, there are also visions of God, right? And he saw entities. So he saw those beings who appeared to him, what they were carrying, the essence that they were bringing around him was provoking worship. It means that he has come closer to the realm where he knows, something inside him knows that what we do here is worship before those beings. Now, the reason why he fell, he said, I fell at his feet, chapter 19, verse 10, I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, see thou, do it not. I'm thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus, worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So the worship of God is the harvest of the earth. The worship of God is actually the harvest, not just the harvest, is the harvest of creation. Creation would have done its job when it has raised worshipers to God. Those who worship God were in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So, this worship, so the nature of the worshiper is the nature of holiness. That's actually the measure of holiness in the spirit. Or the nature of worship, the nature of holiness, is also the definition of stature in the spirit. That's actually how you define stature when it relates to God, is worship. That's why Jesus spoke of himself as a temple. He knew that he himself, what he was being built for, is a house. Is a house of worship to the Father. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. So worshiping is more than just bowing down. Because you can worship and you can bow down. And at some point, Jesus told some people, stop calling me Lord. I refuse your Lordship from today. So if he tell them, don't call me Lord, it means he's telling them, don't worry, you can call me he or something, or Jesus. Don't call me anything, but don't call me Lord. So why do you call me Lord and not do the things I say? So defining lordship, right? Said these people, this was God's lamentation, that these people draw near to me with their mouth, but their hearts are what? Their hearts are far away from me. So it's very clear that worship means movement of the heart. It's journey. Movement of the heart is what worship is. Shifting of the heart. The heart moving from where it is towards God. Movement, worship is the only kind of movement that ends up in God's eternal life. How you get to eternal life, you move there. Do you understand that? It's not, rapture is not eternal life. All right. Anybody who arrive at that life will know there will be a record of the journey of their heart. The pilgrimage of their heart will be on record. Every step that the heart took to get into that life, it will be recorded and it will be evident. And when they find such people, nobody will argue with them. Because it will be clear that these souls were true worshippers. So what does it mean to be a true worshiper? It means to a worshiper that journeys, a heart that journeys towards him that is true. towards the true God. That's the a heart that has an affinity for Him that is true. A heart that gravitates towards Him that is true. Of course, the steps towards Him that is true are steps of truth, right? So Jesus said that true worshipers are them who worship in spirit and in truth. So the steps of worship are steps of truth. Hallelujah. That's one way you can tell a heart who worships, a heart that moves towards the truth. A heart that is not a worshiper that moves away from the truth. When you bring truth, they run away. Truth repels the heart. That's how you can tell. He said, why do you call me Lord? You're not doing the things I'm saying. All right. And remember, praise God. What are the things that he is saying? He said, for this purpose have I come, to bear witness to the truth. The truth was his message. He was relaying the truth, teaching the truth, speaking the truth. Praise God. They draw near to me with their mouths, but their heart. So it means that truth is not something that mouth says. Truth is something that the heart responds to. Something that the heart responds to. The heart responds. Said that, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as these people draw near to me with their mouth and their lips do honor me, praise God, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precepts of men. So the precepts of men means it's not in spirit. It's not true worship. Hallelujah. Precept of men. Say precept of men. So the only thing that can deliver you from precepts of men are visions of God. You must have visions of God. So visions of God, they are ladder of visions, or there's ladder of seeing God that God downloads down, praise God, into the heart of souls who are interested in journeying. In fact, they say the word for worship in, right, tada, right, is to journey. That's actually how journey is, movement. That's why God designed that the call, worship involves a calling to journey, a calling to move. Praise God. That to worship God, first of all, you must have fulfilled just journeying to Zion. Right? Without, if you don't journey to Zion, you don't, when you get to Zion, first of all, you prove that you are a pilgrim, you journey. Then when you get there, you now begin, so they will change the trajectory of the journey. Now begin to journey upwards. For climbing, praise God. Hallelujah! Upward task of movement and to journey. Praise God. Hallelujah! Glory to God. Hallelujah! I said glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the best way to describe worshiping God is moving toward God, is one way to describe it. So it's you move to Him, one. And then you move with Him. You move to Him, praise God. You must find Him. You must find Him. Hallelujah. You must find Him. How do you find Him? With your heart. Say, so you seek me, and then you will find me after you have sought me with what? With all of your heart, you seek me. Who are those who are seeking? If he is not where you are and you're looking for him and you want to find him, you must be willing to journey to where he is. You must be willing to look for him. Hallelujah. So you seek me and you find me after you. So as I said, you journey to him. That's the law. You journey to him. Then after journeying to him, you journey with him. What transitions you from joining with him is being received of him. So he receives sons. The Father receives sons who will walk with him, who will be able to journey with God, to journey with God. So just a man who has not journeyed to God can never journey with God. That's a test. So, hallelujah. Am I saying something to you? Abraham didn't start journeying with God. God came to call him and went away. Do you understand that? He wasn't with him every single day. He said, there's a land I will show you. Yeah, start going. Come out of your father's house. Come out. You have to journey. Prove to me. Come and look for me. I'm going. Can you come and find me? Hallelujah. But glory to God. Hallelujah. Come and what? Come and find me. There's always that. God always plays that game. Just check the Bible. God never goes to anybody from day one and stays with them. You know, he can encounter them. He will call them. He will do something, and then he will take his distance. And when he's doing the distance, he's praying for them. He's waiting for them. He's expecting them. You must do that proof. You must prove that you want him, that you desire him. You must do that first journey. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. You walk with him without... It's the same thing. It's a pattern. It's a pattern in the Bible. Check Moses. If Moses asks him, who will I say that I'm? It means that Moses wasn't seeing him every day. Yeah. There's a way that he was around Moses, but he wasn't. God wasn't talking to Moses every day. God just used a program for him. Jethro, sheep. You know, sheep is God. You know that. When God can put himself with sheep through taking care of sheep, do you know that, right?
Yes,
God is sheep. Sheep just means God distributed. He distributes himself. Sheep is like a conservation of God. So that was what. So he was leading sheep, or he was following sheep. In the wilderness. Amen. You know, that's one way to follow God, is to follow sheep. So, hallelujah.
Amen.
So, but God waited and waited. After the 40 years or so, then he saw a bush burning. A bush that was burning and is not consumed. He said, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked and beheld the bush burned with fire. And the bush was what? Was not consumed. Verse 3, let's see. Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Why the bush is not burnt? I will investigate. Why is the bush not burning? And when he saw, the Lord saw that he turned aside to see. This was... So if Moses did not turn aside to see, if he was not interested, there's... I just ran away, sir, all right? That is not my concern. Bushes... Well, that bush is consumer, bush is not consumer. How does that affect my business? Now, this was the holiness of Moses. Being God, God created a wonder, something that is not, that has nothing to do with his life, his normal life, to check, to test whether is he a holy man. God was testing some things about him. He has a checking his, has he escaped corruption? Now, a man who has not overcome, not let me not say overcome, but to a degree, who has not overcome or escaped the corruption of lust, you can't send him to Egypt to go and deliver people from the land of corruption. Sir? You cannot send him. You can't send him there to go to Egypt. This bush that is burning is a sign of something that is it's supernatural. That's what he saw. That was what it signifies. There was something. God did something supernatural. Is this man interested in the supernatural? So that quest for that is a kind of holiness. Do you get what I'm saying? It's the first kind of holiness that if Moses is not interested in a burning bush, is he going to be interested in a pillar of fire? A pillar of cloud? Is he going to be interested in everything that, everything from this point going onward was supernatural? He has to be willing to be plunged into the realm of supernatural. Do you understand what I mean? Yeah, he must, before you graduate into the season of walking with God, your soul must have been tested to see that you have the kind of shape that has interest in a supernatural, day-to-day supernatural. That is, you understand what I mean? Living in the supernatural. That which is supernatural means it's above the natural. It's super to the natural. It supersedes the natural. Supernatural, supernatural, supernatural. A lot of souls don't like supernatural. A lot of Christians don't like supernatural. When you go super, they get bored and sleep. Why are you going outside of the natural? What are we looking for there? So that shackle, the confine, those are the graves of Egypt. Praise God. So it's clear that only the supernatural could deliver the Israelites from the Egyptians. Those are signs. So God has to send a man who has become one with strange things. Otherwise, you cannot. If you're not supernatural, when you see Pharaoh, you understand what I mean? Because this Pharaoh, Moses didn't really know him. You understand? He didn't really know him like that. It wasn't like the first one. This one was a mean guy. This guy has finished the whole world. He was on top. Praise God. He himself was like a god. He employs magician, there, and he can sack them. He can do. Praise God. If you've not been raised with a supernatural mind, praise God. When you see Pharaoh, what will happen? You can't. Right? Pharaoh is a type of, is a kind of the prince of this world. Do you understand that? Is a kind of the prince of this world, or you can call him the god of this world. The god of this world. A god. Then God told him, I want to make you a god unto Pharaoh. Hallelujah. Can a natural man be a god to Pharaoh? Now the Bible says, oh, Noah, you are gods to whom the ends of the world is come. You are gods. Praise God. So you can't be a god to this world if you are just natural, if you are ordinary, if you are carnal. When the world raises its things, you will bow. When the world tampers with something, brings a shaking, brings something that is adverse, does its own thing, the soul will bow. A soul that has learned not to bow to the threats of the world. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't want to leave this place, because if I leave this place, then... Amen. So you know where I stand, the message can determine how the message will go. Praise God. Amen. But I might still live, but let's see. This place is still okay for now. Hallelujah. If I stand in front of Uncle T, I'm in trouble. I know that thing altogether. Or Uncle John. No, that's just... I'll start saying something else because of the realm that he's pulling me into. Uncle John is thinking of that sapphire something I mentioned. That the appearance of the glory, all those area. Praise God. So let me stay in the middle in front of everybody so that... Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So I said, if you've not risen above the natural, you will bow to the world. You can't, it's not, you can't fake it. You can't fake that thing. It depends on what you look at. Well, we look not at the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen. You look at the things like Moses looked. What was he actually trying to see? You know, there's something supernatural here. And then God did that and was watching him. Is this man holy? Is this man holy? Is he going to run for his life? Is he going to gather his sheep and take off? Lest one of them jump inside the... You know, sheep are sheep. Hallelujah. Is he going to... Let's see that. Hallelujah. What is he? Moses. And the Lord said unto, amen. And the Lord said unto Moses, not here, where he turned to the angel, and the bush was not consumed. Amen. So this was the first looking. Figure it out. Something's happening here. This is my kind of thing. This is the point. This is a point of divergence. That's a test of holiness. So the angel of the Lord, my God, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Why the bush is not burning? So this is a heart. You can tell Moses was... what. Moses is a seeker of revelation. This is the heart of holiness. A corrupt heart will not check to see and to know why. These are the kind of tests that God... This is how God... Imagine God coming to choose this man to do this thing based on this. You know how God looks is not... What God is looking for? God is not looking for a man who will see Red Sea and run away. Say, Israel, man, I've tried though. So, I'm sure Moses probably knew a shortcut from that place, but... These are the kind of things that God sees. So you see, what God calls holiness is not our, it's not what we think. It's not being pious, being all of those things. If you can't look at the unseen, you are not holy. If what God is doing, his demonstrations in the unseen, cannot make you turn and look and check why. Do you know what I mean? That why is to investigate that which is supernatural. It's a wonder that does not affect your natural life. It doesn't affect your things, but rather, it could take your attention from the things you mind. Means there will be a cost to you. I will turn aside and see this great sight with my, why the bush is not burning. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him. So God will call you, say, out of the midst of the bush. He said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Draw not hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, I said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. These are people who I became their God. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. The gist Moses is telling him is that, can I become your God? So before this time, Moses has been, he has fulfilled, and God has tested him that he is a sojourner, he's a journeyer, and that he's developed the sight of interest. That's part of the wilderness training, is to take you away from the fanfare and all the excitement and all the jamboree and all of the carnivals and all of those things which you find in Egypt among civilized people. Move him into the wilderness or dwell with sheep. Sheep don't do many things. Sheep just wake up and eat grass and sit down and lie down and wake up and go back to bed. Sheep are not like monkeys who can entertain you. You understand? They will throw some assault, backflip everything, and all that, play with you. Amen. Have you ever gone to a circus and seen a sheep before? What you see there is the elephant. What else? Lion, tiger. Those are interesting animals. Amen. Say sheep. Now imagine being stuck with sheep for 40 years. Sheep. Say sheep. Do you know sheep? You know sheep will annoy a carnal soul. Do you know that sheep nature offends carnal people? If you are a sheep and you're not around a carnal person, they will just be angry with you. For you didn't do them anything. You're actually very nice. Yeah. But just that posture. Hey. Just being a sheep. Why are you just a sheep? Sheep. Just sheeping. Every time, sheep, sheep. Just sheeping everything. Can't you not do anything outside sheep? Do you know what I mean by sheep? Sheep just means follow, follow. Eat, eat. Sleep, sleep. Then follow, follow more. That's all sheep does. That's the holy nature. You understand that thing? You're not trying to do anything, trying to be anything. You're not trying to anything. You know, you're just trying to, you're just, hallelujah. That kind of nature can cause a carnal soul, make a soul to be angry. Why? It's an offense to any soul that has energy for the world. Energy for corruption. You'll be offending them. That why are you sheepish? But sheep nature is a doorway into the invisible. Hallelujah. Praise God. Doorway into what? When you're too active in the natural, on the earth, you miss out on spiritual attractions, on spiritual things. It's difficult. You see the kind of people, when Jesus was born, nobody in the world realized anything has happened. The only two kind of people that heaven could get their attention to what? Shepherds. Who watch? That's what they do. Everybody else is busy doing things. You can't get their attention. But it's just shepherds who watch their flock by night. They're watching their flock. Just watching flock. You see the appearance of an angel like Moses did. Right? Watching flock. So when you watch flock, you see God. Do you understand that? It's a rule, it's a law for seeing God, actually, is to watch flock. You know the flock you should watch? Your soul. This is your flock. It's a sheep. All right? That's the main flock that you should watch. So what the world does is the world makes you don't have time to watch your flock. Some are getting lost, some are being killed, some are missing. Some are dying. Right? The flock is your soul, that has been given to you, right? For you to custody. Hallelujah. You should be watching them. When they say be circumspect, That circumspective is you are looking at your soul and monitoring. You're monitoring every single thing about your soul. Nothing should be happening to my soul. You are cautious. Right? But some souls, even worse than not watching your soul, some people sell it. You take sheep, slaughter it, kill it, use it, export it. All right? What will it profit a man to gain the world and the world? So how was he losing the soul? It's not that he lost it. Because if he gained the world, and the world, it means he sold it. So the person who did this sold the sheep that God gave to him for the world. So every time you're minding the world, minding earthly things, and not minding your soul, you are selling your flock. Praise God. Hallelujah. And you know, the Bible said that. He said, be careful to know the state of your flocks. Have you read that before? Why? Because riches are not forever. Those riches are the true riches are your flock. Praise God. Your true riches are what? Your flock. That if you don't watch over them, say, be diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds, for riches are not forever, and doth the crown endure to every generation. So it means that if you're not watching over them, don't think they will always be there. That there is a program of corruption. Say corruption. That is where? In the world, through lust. So the purpose of lust is to steal your flock. Is to make you sell the flock of your soul. Amen. You know, the only way to keep your flock, to keep sheep, is to pay attention to them. You pay attention to them. That's why shepherds watched their flock. It's watch. You watch the flock. You watch the flock. Praise God. So when you are watching the flock, gives an opening to visitation from God. Because those are who God visits. God visits people who are keepers. Who can keep the sheep. Praise God. Hallelujah. Like Moses. So God had to raise Moses, teach Moses, give him that nature. And then God encountered him in the bonding. So Moses went to a time. So while he was pursuing, going after the flock, he was actually going after God. That was actually the truth. So worship is tending your flock in the direction of God. That is, your flock is to gather your soul. You know, the soul is not one. It's not easy. You don't just say, yeah, flock, don't blow whistle. You can't. You don't lead flock that way. Hallelujah. You gather them. There's a way that you slowly, and they are not fast. That's just the soul. When you see sheep, it's the soul. That's the soul for you. They are not fast. They are not, they are not fast towards in the right direction because of their opposition to them. So to the extent, you know, your soul is not all sheep, right? It has some sheepish kind of part, but the other side of the soul is... It's a wild animal, praise God. And that one doesn't follow flock. That one is just takes off, and praise God. But the aspect of you that still responds to God, you understand? That one is a response to God, but it must be shepherded towards God. It must be gathered. If you don't watch it, it will be stolen. It can be killed. It can be hazarded. You must take care of your soul. You must take care of your heart. So that's part of your first aspect, the first part of worship, right? Is gathering yourself. That's the spiritual life. Becoming spiritual is you're trying to gather your soul in the pursuit of God, towards God, gathering yourself in gradually. You graduate in it. You're moving gradually. That's what it means to be spirituality. Is not, whoa, I just became spiritual. Spirituality is tending. It's like you are watching over it. You are watching. You watch your soul till it becomes spiritual. It's a tug of war. There are things that want to harm it. I want to kill it. There are spirits who eat souls. They eat sheep raw. They don't cook it. They just like a wolf. Do you understand what I mean? Like a wolf doesn't come and then it doesn't, okay, boil it. Put seasoning, marinate. Have you ever seen a wolf marinating sheep before? Or lion. So what that means is that if you take your eyes away, before you bring your eyes back, what you have is space. Where a flock used to be. Do you understand? See, the adversary, the devil, goes about like a roaring lion looking for what? Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. In this place, it was actually writing to those who watch over flock. So it applies also to your own soul. To feed the flock of God which is among you, right? He was saying to the elders, right? The elders which are among you, I exhort, verse 1, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, said, feed the flock of God. So you can say to a pastor, well, yourself. Anything in the Bible they say to pastors applies to you for your own soul. You know that. Praise God. So feed the flock of God which is among you. Think of your soul like that. Taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not a filthy rope, but ready mind that has been lord over God's heritage, but as examples. And if you go down in that place, that's where he began to say that your adversary, the devil, hallelujah, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking one. So the same way the shepherd seeks the flock, that's how this one also seeks who he may devour. Praise God. So I'm just showing you two seasons where you journey towards God. That's the first part of worship. And then the second part of worship, you graduate into journeying with God. Moses went through those seasons. Right? Remember what he told Joshua? He said, as I was with Moses. Do you remember? As I was with Moses, so I will be. Therefore shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I do what? I will be with thee. I will not fail thee. I will not forsake. He said, I will be. He didn't say, so I am with thee today. As I was with Moses, I will be with thee. If he was already with him, wouldn't he say it? So I am with you. No. Hallelujah. But you know that this man has already begun his journey towards God for a long time. They sent him first to the promised land. Those are the tests. God tests people first. You will go through your season first. You know, some people say, where is God? Where is God? But God will not come like that. Can you, whom not having not seen, that's the principle of sanctification, the first sanctification. That's 1 Peter chapter 1, right? Whom having not seen, you must do this part first. If you don't do this part, you're not qualified to see God. You're not pure enough. Right? So the people, first John was writing to that which we have seen, which you have heard, which you have handled, and then we now declare unto you, that was a high season, like we were seeing, right, on Wednesday. That's another season of fellowship. You don't begin Christianity with fellowshipping with God or fellowship with the Father. Fellowship. You can't fellowship with those beings. You don't fellowship with them. They don't start. You must journey to them. The place of fellowship, we are called to it. But it's in the spirit. It's a location in the spirit. You don't just fellowship with God because you are born again. What you're fellowshipping with is the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. Fellowship of the Holy Ghost. You understand? Fellowship of the Holy Ghost. You pray in tongues, you speak with him, and he will listen to you. You will cry to him, he will answer you, he will pet you, he will encourage you, he will do everything with you. That's not God, that's not the Father. The Father, you journey to him, then he will receive you when you have proven your journey. But that time of journeying towards him is a time when you don't see him. You don't see him. Ezekiel journeyed, he never saw God until Ezekiel chapter 1. In the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, I was among the captives by the river of Chebar. Then the heavens were open, and I saw visions of God. Ezekiel did not start from here. Ezekiel was first faithful in captivity. Did Daniel see God on day one? So there are seasons of holiness and different kinds. There's a holiness you do without seeing God. Right? That 1 Peter chapter 1, that's what we were speaking about. He called it the trying of your faith. Let them try your faith. Let them try your capacity in the unseen. They must try it. God doesn't just come out of his place and just say, I'm here, I'm God, let's go together. It can't work like that. It can't work like that. He must check you. Are you profane? Like Esau, that profane fellow. Because when they say birthright, you say, what meaneth this to me? What is it? It's an invisible thing, the birthright. But food is real. At least when I enter my stomach, I will feel the impact. I know that this is something I can eat now. Are you saying that? So that profanity means you are not holy. It means Esau was not holy. That's our God. He said it's not because he has done any good or evil. The Bible said that they have not even been born. But God saw that thing inside of him. That he doesn't have appetite. He will not have appetite to pursue the unseen. That birthright that Jacob took did not start giving him money. And he knew he wouldn't. He was still poor. He was still going around doing all manner of things. Well, Esau became established in the natural, which is what Esau was looking for. Do you understand that? But he's not holy. is not holy. It's not holy. Your faith must be tried. And they don't try your faith by you fellowshipping with God. They try your faith first, right? The trying of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. Though it be tried with fire. So fire is for trying. This kind of fire, that it will be found unto praise, and then what? Honor, then and glory at the... What does it mean that something will be found at the appearance? Right? It's when he appears. Must find something present. Is what you're trying has produced when he was not appearing. That's what he must find that thing. God will try you with days when he is far. And he wants you to feel that and know that. He will just go back into his unseen realm. And then he will just act as if, don't be passive in me. You know that everyday something. Praise God. You know that you know crisis is a dangerous zone. You know why? You know why crisis is dangerous? It's because by that time, Holy Ghost has graduated you. Holy Ghost will say, me, I'm no longer a ghost, you know. I'm not a light. I'm a lamp. You understand what I mean? So all those, you know, things. When you say, Holy Ghost, where are you? He will give you light. Revelation. What about all the things and all that? You know, that's why he said, which you do well as a light that shined in there. You must do well in that season. It's a light that shines in a dark place. Say, dark place. Shines in it. Those are times of trials, right? When it's dark. So in that dark place, all you have is that light, which, do you get what I'm saying? So you must do well with light without appearance. You know the difference, right? This light, it's not that you're in darkness, but you're in light. There's light. But rather, the light is teaching you. It's schooling you. And when I say they are teaching you something is every time you are learning, you are looking into the invisible. Right? When they represent learning to you, they're trying to describe a reality to you through understanding. You get through understanding. Means it's not yet appearing naturally, but through the doorway of understanding, if you can hold understanding, part of your trying of your faith is your ability to hold understanding like something real, which you do well to heed unto. Is that what it said? Take heed. We have a more sure word of prophecy whereunto you do well that you take heed. You take heed to it as unto a light that shines. Some Christians, you can't give them light in a dark place. Say, no, we're trying to know God. We're looking for God. Amen. And oftentimes, looking for God, they run outside to go and look for attractions. But those attractions are not God. God has his own canal that he passes through. He must pass through that season. Hallelujah. We found unto praise, what? Honor. And then glory, where? At the appearance. Of the, whom, having not seen, you love. He, right? though now you see him not, but yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the what? The salvation of your soul. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. So what I want to show you is Christ. Christ is fire. Christ is fire. Christ is fire. Christ is what? Christ is a fire. Is a fire. Christ is a holy fire. Praise God. Christ is a lamp that burneth. Praise God. The light of Christ is the light that shines in a dark place. When he has not yet appeared, that you have to keep and take heed unto. Hallelujah. And that holding the light in the dark is your sanctification. Keeping your light in the dark, like those virgins, that's your sanctification. You're faithful with everything concerning the light. Whom have we not seen? The bridegroom is not appearing. They are waiting for him. It's not appearing yet, but you're able to keep the light with oil burning in a dark place. So it's that attitude that constitutes. So that attitude is what unclean things cannot stand. Is what makes you not touch unclean things. It's not by I'm fighting unclean things. No, it's that you are too busy with the unseen. So if you don't look at the things that are not seen, you cannot be holy. You don't just with your decision, I'm going to leave things. It's not by that. You must exchange vocation in the spirit. Change your focus from the things that are seen, because they are temporal, into the things that are what? And unseen. That is the holiness. That's the holiness of Christ. Praise God. I said, Christ is what? It's a fire. It's a holy fire. Praise God. It's a burning. So the light of Christ is a burning lamp. A lamp that burneth. Or a light that burneth. Praise God. The Father is both a burning light and a shining light. So that's what part of the picture of they are showing in the book of Ezekiel chapter 1, describing the Father. That he also includes burning. He has his own burning. Thank you. He has a glorious burning. It's a burning that is mixed with brightness, with glory, with clouds. Hallelujah. Amen. So what that one speaks about another kind of sanctification, which is different, is higher, is the fire. So that is the kind of fire that you have with God. So there is a burning that the nature of God brings, or is the burning of his appearance. Is that one is different? That one is the fire of fatherhood. Amen. It's a burning with glory. It's a burning with appearance. Do you get what I'm saying? So it's not something. He's talking about the burning of his presence. After you've been received by him, praise God. Then him being a father unto you, and you'll be his son and his daughters, is a higher kind of sanctification, which involves partaking. You are taking part with him. You are now become a partaker of his holiness. You can't partake of his holiness outside his presence. He brings you into his presence to partake of his holiness. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to Jesus.
Hallelujah.
So it's not just about then you looking into the unseen. It is locating him who lives there. It's arriving at the presence of God. That's another holiness. You might be holy with the unseen, with the invisible. You can be a Zion stone. Praise God. But when the heat of his person comes closer, the heat of his fatherhood, call them scourging, chastisement of love. That's the chastisement of love. The purpose of love to chastise. No, love is the fire. It's the Father's fire. His love fire. That love is a weight that bends nature. He will put his weight on your frame until he breaks it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's not just burning, it's burning with impact. It's the impact of persons. They want to dissolve matters. They are bonds of, we are covalent bonds of natures, which are forms of their, there are things that amounts to our frame, which only the person of the Father can dissolve. There are covalent bonds of our soul nature that it's only his presence, it's the person of the Father that we should be called. The manner of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the sons of God. Does not yet appear we shall be, but when he comes, we shall do what? For we shall see him. For we shall see him as he is. Visions of God. Say visions of God.
Visions of God.
Our visions of God. So the purpose of seeing God is for partaking of his holiness. Partakers of his holiness. The Lord will bring this closer to us.
Amen.
His person.
Amen.
His holiness. And open up that door further to us.
Amen.
And so you will bring you closer. The aspects of your flock. Some of our flock are still coming. Right? They are still coming out of the unclean. We have to gather them. Then some of our flock are closer to him. Praise God. You begin to feel his impact. Our soul. I pray that every encounter with God, in every way we have, will rot our sanctification. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. Masekarata, esekarata, pakoterata, sestoperata, sesondrevetes. You will sanctify us. It says, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. Thank you for our sanctification. This is the will of God. Your sanctification. Father, you will wrought it in us. Sanctify our soul. Make us. And we should be holy. We should be holy. Without blame before you. In love. Thank you, our Father. We give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Amen.